tell us about the Mozart and how you and Eleanor are working together and how this is all coming together.
Well, I knew I wanted to feature Eleanor in a significant concerto, and so we had talked about a few different possibilities, and I was so excited when Eleanor said that in her estimation, there's no greater, you know, perhaps no greater violin concerto than Mozart's A major. And I love that, you know, because so many people focus on the big romantic concertos or the flashier concertos or something that has a certain degree of heaviness. But I think it just is another way that Eleanor and I are really on the same wavelength musically in a lot of ways. And one of the ways that helps us in our work with every performance that we do together is that she feels that way, you know, and I would say yes. I mean, I would rather conduct the Mozart violin concerto than many others. I love all the violin concertos dearly. You can't really compare Beethoven and Mendelssohn, Tchaikovsky, Sibelius, et cetera, et cetera. But the Mozart concerto probably should be performed more than it is. And same with the other earlier concertos. And so I loved the fact that she was so excited to do the Mozart concerto. And we had a certain limitation of the instrumentation of this concert, and so it worked out perfectly with that. And it's just a great way to begin a concerto exploration with our new concertmaster with Mozart, you know, maybe it'll progress to other concertos down the road as well.
Yeah, this piece, I was so excited. I think I remember the phone call that where William had called me and asked about playing a concerto, which I was, of course, elated about. And, you know, we had a couple of possibilities for sure. And then I sort of threw it out there and I said, well, what about Mozart 5? Which is definitely not performed as much, William is correct, as some of these bigger, flashier, longer, more intense pieces. And I always think about the reason. I think, you know, there's something very poignant about Mozart's music that is a little more inward at times. So I think orchestras are reluctant to program it for that reason. It's not as flashy. It's also supremely difficult because of its simplicity. I think a lot of soloists shy away from it, honestly, because, you know, when I was talking to some string player friends, I mentioned I was playing this and how exciting it was, and their response a lot of times is, oh, that's scary. I think because it's so exposed, it's very simple sounding music, but it has to have this beautiful clarity and meaningfulness that is just so important to bring to Mozart's music. So I think in a way, there's a famous quote, I can't attribute it probably to the right person, but that Mozart's music is far too simple for the student, but far too complicated for the professional.
And it's always a great treat to get to, you know, work with Eleanor, and in this capacity, especially because she could do not only the bowings for the violins, but she could make sure that from the get-go that they would match what she was doing as soloist, because so many times in a violin concerto, the violin soloist and the first violins are playing the same thing. And so that really helped. And I think we're both coming to this with the idea that, you know, sometimes performances of this piece don't really, I think, have the right kind of sound quality in the accompaniment. And so we're both encouraging the orchestra at last night's rehearsal to play out and let's have it sparkle, you know. The whole thing should sparkle, you know, and it should have a sort of bright clarity to it. And I mean, it's rare that he wrote in A major. There are only certain pieces he wrote in A major. The middle movement of this concerto is in a very rare key for him, E major. Very unusual for Mozart to write in so many sharps. And so he never went beyond E major in the terms of the number of sharps that I'm aware of. I don't think there's anything in B major, for instance, or anything like that by Mozart. So there's something a little bit extreme in the sort of sharpness of it, which could hopefully we translate that into a certain kind of feeling, a certain kind of sound. Because the keys really did have significance for the composers back then, especially. You know, each key had a sort of meaning or feeling for the composers. And One of the other things that's different about this is he writes a tempo indication in the first movement that's also very rare for him. He uses it a lot. He's the only composer who ever used it, Allegro aperto, which can be translated either as an open allegro or an appropriate tempo of allegro. And it's kind of a little bit unclear to us in the 21st century what exactly that meant to Mozart. And actually, we hadn't talked about that, you and I, Eleanor, so I'm kind of curious what you think about Allegro Aperto, if you have other insights, because one of my earliest experiences with Mozart was as a young oboist, and a couple of his oboe pieces are also marked Allegro Aperto, but like I said, he doesn't do it a lot, and he's the only composer who uses that indication. I believe the opening of the oboe concerto is also Allegro Aperto.
And this tempo marking is so interesting, and we were talking earlier about some of the sort of quirks of this piece that are unlike anything else that he wrote. It's, you know, the combination of the key area, the A major to E major key area, which is odd for him, with the Allegro aperto, with the slow, beautiful opening that we were talking about earlier, plus the element of the Turkish music. It just makes this piece just full of little surprises and quirks. Which makes it so fun to perform, and there's always something to look at, always something to listen to. But yeah, this particular tempo opening is popular for, I'll say, when I first sort of was studying this piece when I was 18 or 19, one thing that's kind of popular when you're having a violin lesson is teachers kind of quizzing you about what things mean in the music, because if you started really young, you kind of learn by ear, you take a lot of things for granted, and your teachers, it's their job to ask, well, do you know what that means? And so I remember my dad, who is a fabulous pianist, this is one of his favorite pieces he's actually coming to hear this weekend, and he adores this piece, and so from a young age, I knew what that meant. I knew it meant open allegro, and he had always talked to me about sort of the problems of this and what it could possibly mean to us, and so I remember one of my first lessons in college, my teacher asked me, well, what does that mean? And I said, oh, open allegro, and he was pretty shocked that I knew that, and I was lucky to have that musical background. I like to think of it as more of, you know, many times composers mark tempos at the beginning of their piece, not always, but a lot of times there's also sort of a feeling marked at the beginning of a piece, how we're supposed to interpret it, and so I interpret that aperto as more of sort of allegro is the tempo, fast, but the feeling is open. So I try and think of that as sort of upward, sort of limitless feeling, which is makes it much more satisfying for me to perform this movement. I was gonna add also that we were talking a little bit about the rehearsal process, and oftentimes as a concertmaster, I you know, welcome violin soloists and I'm a part of the orchestra. And so one of the things that's sometimes frustrating is just because of the structure of the modern orchestra, we often don't have a lot of time to rehearse these pieces. So there are decisions, and you know, most times, 9 times out of 10, I'm meeting this soloist for the first time as the leader of the string section, trying to, you know, at the first rehearsal, trying to match them in everything that they're doing. And it oftentimes feels like a bit of a scramble in rehearsal because of the, you know, lack of time that we have. So this experience is great because I really feel like I know these players, they know me, we can get things done quickly, and we can make a really cohesive performance together, which I think is very special. And I hear many performances even going to see concerts where the concertmaster is the soloist, and I am a little biased, but I always enjoy those performances a little bit more because it feels sort of like really a team effort, and maybe I'm thinking about the Olympics, which have been on now and I've been watching a lot of, but it really feels like a team effort, like everyone is sort of backing me up, and they already know kind of what I'm going to do. There's this sort of little bit of psychic energy because we play together a lot, and it makes it very rewarding to play and very easy to play with the orchestra.